Grace and peace to you from God the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. And I love when I sit down and church is like half empty and then I get up and there's twice as many people. Amen. I love it. I know, right? Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for this beautiful morning here in Glendale, Arizona. And we thank you, Lord, for your ancient words, Father. We thank you for your ancient words here and now, the powerful words that we are about to hear, Father. And we thank you for the many chances that you give us in our lives, Lord. And we thank you that you use us to feed your sheep, Father God. That you use us no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, Father, that you use our testimony to better your kingdom, Lord. May you open the hearts and minds of everyone here today, Father, and bless our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, my sermon is entitled, Feed My Sheep. There it is. All right. Amen. In last week's sermon, Pastor Rick talked about how Jesus appeared for the third time after the resurrection. And what were they doing when he appeared this third time? Fishing. They were fishing, right? So, but who were they fishing for? They're fishing for themselves, right? Not fishing for men like the Lord had asked them to do, right? So they're fishing for themselves. They had gone back to where they were when Christ first met them and asked them to come follow him, right? So, they had gone back to their old way of life and they had not listened to the Savior. Amen? But, you know, and what did that get them? What did going back to their old life get them? It got them an empty net, right? An empty net. That's what they got. And nothing. So the empty net signifies nothing. So, you know, then Jesus' last miracle of this book of John, and the only miracle that he performed after the resurrection, the miraculous catch. And that's what Pastor Rick was talking about last week. And how many fish did he catch? Did they catch? 153. Amen. We can go way deep on that 153, but we'll save that for another time. Amen? So in today's text, Jesus has come to give Peter a message. And oh, how Peter is going to be so much like any of us, right? And so remember, during the Last Supper, Jesus tells the disciples, in a few hours, you are all going to leave me or deny me. And here's how Peter responded in Matthew 26. He said, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. You got my rooster up there? There he is. All right. I got the pointer too. There's the rooster. All right. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Amen? So we know that Peter couldn't hold up his end of the bargain, right? We know what happened. So he would deny him three times. He would deny him three times. Now, if any of us make a mistake, most people will show forgiveness, right? But if we make the same mistake three times in a row, it starts to look more like a bad habit than just a mistake, right? And then it starts to get a little harder to get forgiveness when we're repetitive about our mistakes. Amen? So, thanks be to God, though, that Jesus saves. Amen? So, that's what matters the most, right? So, they're on the shore, they're having breakfast and with Jesus. How cool is that, right? First off, they're going to have breakfast with Jesus. Our Lord and Savior is cooking them breakfast, right? And I bet he cooked some bacon, too, right? No, I don't think so. No bacon for Jesus. Right. So in verse 15, let's start in verse 15. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now, right as he's coming up to Peter, just imagine Peter, he's trying to keep busy, right? He's like, he's working the nets and he's doing whatever he can do, helping out with the lunch to avoid eye contact with Jesus, right? So he's trying to avoid eye contact because he had a guilty conscience. You know, he knew that he denied the Lord three times and he didn't expect to see him again, let alone three times. So this is the third time, right? And so Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" And so Jesus was still calling him Simon because, remember in 1 John, we talked about, he said, "You will be called Cephas," right? Which means Peter, the rock, right? So, or strength. So Simon was working on being the rock, but he wasn't quite the rock yet, okay? He wasn't Peter yet, so he hadn't attained that title yet. So the Lord's calling him Simon. And Simon says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." So Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" Right? He said, "Do you love me more than these?" What does he mean by these? Is he talking about the fish? Is he talking about boats? The boats that are there? Or is he talking about the disciples? He's talking about the disciples. So he means the disciples. But remember, Peter said in Matthew that even if they all abandon you, I won't, right? He said, even if all the disciples abandon you, I'll be the last one to be right here by your side. And so what is Jesus trying to say to him here? He's trying to tell him that, you know, what he's done, right? Trying to remind him of what he's done. He knows what he did, right? He knows that he denied him. So this is so relative to the lives of many Christians today. And we sin and repent. We sin and repent. We sin and repent. Why is that? Why do we keep sinning and repenting, right? Not just because we have a sin nature, but, you know, it's because most of us think about the mercy of God more than we think about the justice of God. You know? We just think about the fluff and we don't think about the justice, but, you know, and some of us may even have a once save, always save mentality, and that's a dangerous way to live. You know? We don't want to have that kind of mentality. We want to have the fear of God in our lives that drives us, that compels us to live our lives for Christ. Amen? And so remember Romans 6:1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" If we want to experience true joy on earth as it is in heaven, we have to turn from our sins. Amen? And you see, Jesus now is never soft on sin, right? Jesus has never been soft on sin. Remember the woman at the well when he said, "Go get your husband," and she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "I know you've had five, and the man you're with right now is not your husband." So Jesus isn't soft on sin, right? Or when he's cracking the whip in the temple courts, right? Turning over the tables, and yeah, he's not soft on sin. Amen? But when we're left to our own devices and our own sin nature, we are very soft on sin. We allow sin into our lives very easily when we don't have the Word of God in us. Amen? So what is the best motivation to turn us from our sins? What is the best motivation to turn us from our sins? It is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? When we understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the best thing to turn us from our sins. And why is that? Because it shows the deep, deep love that God has for us. He shows the deep love that He has for us. He is risen. Amen?
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And we cannot understand that love of God until we understand the gospel and the sacrifice of the cross. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. That's a huge price to pay for our mistakes, right? For our mistakes. That's how much He loves us. So to sacrifice your own son, we can't even understand that much love, right? How many of us would do that? Sacrifice our own child, right? Amen? That's the kind of love the Lord has for us. So here's an example. Let me show you an example of the love that Christ has for us, or that God has for us. Let's say I told you that I'm going to pay your bills, okay? I'm going to pay your bills. And you say, "Well, which one? The $75 internet bill or the $1 million hospital bill that I have? Which one are you going to pay, Pastor Robert?" Right? Well, I want to pay them all. I want to pay all your bills. Okay? But in order to do that, I got to take out a bunch of loans all over town. I got to sell everything I got, right? And be poor for the rest of my life. Amen? Well, if I did this, you would look at me very differently, right? You'd be looking at me really very differently, right, if I did something like that. Well, the truth is, I wouldn't do all that for you. Amen? Okay, you know why? Because I don't love you that much. I don't love you that much. Besides that, I'm already doing it for my wife, so. Amen? But you know who would pay that price? You know who would pay that price? And God through Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when we realize the sacrifice of Christ, we realize the love of Christ. Amen? And during World War II, there was a young paratrooper named David Webster of E Company, 101st Airborne. And he wrote this to his mother. He said, "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight, if necessary. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things are precious. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." What a profound statement. How much more true, that is when it comes to our salvation. Amen? When it comes to our salvation. If we are going to experience eternal joy and peace with the Holy God, then somebody has to sacrifice. And that someone is Jesus. Jesus didn't ignore our sins. He didn't brush it off. He didn't hide it in a cosmic footlocker. The Holy God never would have settled for that. Instead, Jesus assumed your sin and let God crush him. It was on his cross that the kindness of God and the justice of God came together. Amen? So at the end of verse 15, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." So now he's saying, "Feed my lambs," right? So here I believe Jesus is calling Peter back to leadership. He's calling him back to leadership after his denial. So regardless of what he's done, Jesus is calling him back. Amen? And you see, through Jesus Christ, our God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. Amen? And thanks be to God for that, right? And then in verse 16, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And again, Simon Peter tells him, "Lord, you know that I love you. You know I love you." Now, in the original Greek text, the Lord is talking about, when the Lord says, "Do you love me?" He's talking about agape love. Amen? Which is a divine love. That's God's love, right? Agape love. Okay? But Simon Peter's replying with phileo love, which is a brotherly love. It's not the love that God's talking about. It's the next level down, okay? It's a brotherly love. It's not the divine love that the Lord is talking about. So then in verse 17, Jesus changes his word for love to phileo love, all right? So in the third time he asks him, he says, "Do you love me?" He's saying phileo instead of agape. Amen. So now he's changing it to what Peter was saying. So he's using the same word that Simon Peter was using. And now Peter was hurt. Peter was hurt the third time he asked him. And was he hurt because he changed the word or because he asked the third time if he loved Jesus, right? So here again, Peter denies Jesus three times. Then it's the third time Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection. So it's three and three, right? And now Jesus asked Peter three times if he loves him. This is called threefold repetition, okay? It's three, three, and three, right? So this is what I think is the official reinstatement of Peter into the ministry. This is the official reinstatement of Peter. And he's calling him to repentance. Amen? Just like he calls all of us. Amen? So God is a God of second chances, and thank you, Jesus, that he is. Amen? So just think how many of us in this little church have been given a second chance at life because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And I know I talk about it all the time, but hallelujah, right? We all have and will fall short of the glory of God every day in our lives, right? And that's a guarantee. But if we surrender to the Lord and repent of our sins, He will restore us, He'll heal us, He'll strengthen us, and He'll use each and every one of us in a mighty way for the kingdom of God. Amen? You see, God is a God of second chances. Look at the life of Jonah. He He purposely went in the exact opposite direction of where God asked him to go, right? It sounds like the story of a lot of our lives, right? We go in the exact opposite direction. Amen. And so after Jonah was swallowed by the great fish, Jonah probably thought that he would never get out of that fish alive. Probably thought he'd never get out of that fish alive. And if he did, he was certain that God wasn't going to be able to use him. Amen. So even if he got out alive, God wouldn't be able to use him. And you know, I see that as an analogy of a life spent in addiction, or a life spent in crime or sin or even abuse. You know, a lot of these people, I was just yesterday and this morning, you see all these homeless people out there on the streets. And you know, it makes you wonder, this made me think, the story of Jonah made me think about them, that they're out there, you know, they're stuck in the fish right now. But they're thinking, you know, even if I get out of this fish, even if I get out of this addiction, even if I get out of this life, how's anybody going to use me? My identity is found. They don't know that their identity is found in Christ. They think that's their identity. And that's why a lot of people have so many, you know, they're hopeless, because they think they're hopeless because they don't think there's life after where they're at. They don't understand that the Lord can restore us mentally, physically, and spiritually. And a lot of them, you know, they're stuck in that fish. You know, and they're afraid of what's going to become of them. Even if they come out of the fish, they still don't think that the Lord can use them, or that they can be restored, or they can have a new life, you know? And that's what it made me think of. And, you know, our true identity is always found in Christ. That's what we were created for. Amen? And the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. And there's a song, and I know most of you probably know it. And I'm not going to sing it, okay? I'm just going to say the words, all right? I thought about singing it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to sing it. So it's by Ryan Stevenson. It's called No Matter What. It says, a lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all. And at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone. But I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross, and be free. Oh, be free. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated. No matter where you run, he's always holding on. You're still a daughter. You're still a son. No matter what. No matter what we do. Amen. You see, God gave Jonah a second chance. He used him to bring a revival to the city of Nineveh, right? So, you know, throughout the Bible, we read about second chances that God gives throughout the Bible. He gave a second chance to Moses, who killed somebody, right? He gave a second chance to David, who committed adultery amongst a bunch of other horrible things, right? And here in today's text, you know, he gives a second chance to Peter. You know, God loves to give people second chances and to restore them so he can use them in a mighty way. He wants to turn our test into a testimony. Amen. He wants to turn our test into a testimony and serve the Lord. So then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. The Lord calls a lot of us to serve him in many ways. And God never wastes a hurt. And we shouldn't waste our hurts either. Amen. If you're a walking testimony, use that testimony to feed his sheep. Use that testimony. Why is Jesus calling Peter back to leadership after his denial? Because broken people make some of the best leaders in ministry. Broken people make some of the best leaders. And we know that very true, very well here in Amazing Grace. Amen? And it's true, you know. They make some of the best leaders. And why? It's because they understand your pain. They understand your struggles. They've been there. They know where you're coming from. They know what you're going through. And, you know, when I sponsor someone in recovery for drug addiction, I know what they're going through. I know where they're at. When I counsel someone for problems due to alcoholism, oh, I feel their pain. I feel their pain. I've been there. I've done that. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. Amen? He went to the cross to experience our pain and so much more so that He could do the same for us. He bore our sins, and you know, we should learn from our mistakes. We grow in our faith because of our trials and tribulations, and God uses everything for His good, including, you know, if we allow Him to, He uses everything for His good. And if our pride doesn't get in the way and we humble ourselves, you know, He will lift us up to serve others. But a lot of time our pride gets in the way. And we just have to allow the Lord to work through us. Amen? So once again, Jesus is calling Simon Peter to leadership. Verses 18 to 19. He says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger and you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." So here Jesus is telling Peter that when you were younger, you dressed how you wanted, you talked how you wanted, you went where you wanted, and you helped who you wanted. Wait a minute. Is he talking to Peter, or is he talking to me, or is he talking to you guys, right? Right? So before I was saved, I dressed funky is the only word I can think of right now, I guess. I dressed funky, I dressed crazy, right? My language was horrible, vulgar, and embarrassing. Just ask my wife. She knows, she remembers. And, you know, I went where I wanted. Yeah, I went where I wanted. I went to the bar every day. I went to the drug dealer's house. I went to hospitals. I went to jails. That's not living. That's believing the devil's lies. And, you know, it's a painful life. It's a painful life that the Lord wants to deliver you from. If that's what you're going through. Then he says, "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands." The metaphor for the crucifixion. Amen? He says, "You will stretch out your hands." This is the way Peter's death would bring glory to God. There it is. Upside down. Peter would be crucified, and he would be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy of being crucified right side up as Jesus was. Amen? So what is Jesus saying here? He's saying, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Take up your own cross. Literally, take up your own cross. So guess what? He's saying the same thing to all of us right now, right here today. He's saying, take up your cross. Before we met Jesus, we had the freedom to do what we wanted to do, to go where we wanted to go, to satisfy the flesh. But is that really freedom? No. Did that really make us happy, or better yet, joyful? No. Not like the joy we experience when we take up our cross and serve the Lord. It's a whole different thing. Amen? I can testify to that. This is true joy right here. Amen? This is true joy, not fake joy. Okay? Not this. But this is true joy. Amen? That's true joy. Charles Spurgeon writes, "Your sorrow itself shall be turned into joy. Not the sorrow to be taken away and joy to be put in its place, but the very sorrow which grieves you shall be turned into joy." It's going to turn your test into a testimony. Amen? The Lord will deliver us from our sorrow if we allow Him to. And He'll use our sorrow or our testimony to help others find joy as well. Jesus says, "Follow me. Follow me." Then the last verses say, "Peter turned and saw a disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, 'Lord, who is going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room enough for the books that would be written. So Jesus tells Peter that he's going to serve God unto death and that his death is going to bring glory to God. And Peter says, "Okay, well, what about him?" He's pointing to John, right? If Jesus tells you, "Don't worry about him," I wouldn't worry about him, right? So, but isn't that how we are in nature? We always worry about the other people, right? We're always worried about other people, what they're doing, how they're serving, what they're doing, how come they're not here today? You know, what are they doing? How come, you know, and so we're always comparing ourselves or worried about what other people are doing. So Jesus is saying, just worry about what I have for you. Don't worry about everyone else. Just worry about what I have for you to do. You know, everyone has their own relationship with Christ. We all have our own relationship, I hope. But, you know, our goal should be saving souls, not comparing our works or trying to, earn our salvation or earn anything. We don't have to earn it. The Lord's already done it. Amen? Now remember, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." They are His sheep that we're called to feed, right? They're His sheep. And this is faith in action. Feeding His sheep is how we show our love to Jesus. By doing His will, allowing Him to work through us, that's how we show our love, our agape love to the Lord. Amen? So remember, Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." If you love me, feed my sheep. Do you love Jesus? Are you ready to take up your cross and feed His sheep? Amen? If you are, or if you just want to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this sinner's prayer with me and take up your cross today. Amen? Here we go. Let's say it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe that you are saved. The Lord is going to use you in a mighty, mighty way to feed His sheep as well. Amen? Amen. All right. God's peace be with you.